So hey, welcome everybody to day two. And we have set out on a mission to make this your best year ever. And together we're studying my proven seven-step system to turn your resolutions into results. And this really will work for you, I promise. I am not anything special, not even remotely. I'm flaky. I'm scatterbrained. I never know where my keys are or my purse or my go out in public with different shoes. You know, there's nothing like, oh, gee, of course, Donna, you know, she's so amazing. Like, no, no. It's not that. This works. It's just so simple. Really. Whatever you want to have, all you got to do is be who God is asking you to be. And I promise you it's not perfect. That I can guarantee you. Because right there, I'd be out of the game. But you need to be who He created you to be. Okay? And then you need to do some things. And simple things. Honestly, little bits with consistency. How many times have you heard me say that? And then you can have the life that Jesus died to give you. And I promise you that all it really is what y'all said in the survey, what you want to do. You want to make a plan for this year and then go after it. And you need to retrain your brain. And if you do those two things, you really can make this your best year ever. You know, for some of you, you've been in a slump. Honestly, you've been in a slump for a while. I mean, this has been a few, since 2008, the financial collapse, a lot of people been through some really tough times. And I don't know how your math is, but, you know, we're past the seven-year mark. Those 7 years of famine, I'm telling you right now, the 7 years of famine, that's it. It's over. It's over. 7 years of famine are over. It's time. It's time for you to begin to prosper. And I don't just mean money. I mean your soul. It's time for you to believe again. It's time for you to dream again. You know, I just saw this vision, you know, in my mind, just a quick snapshot. When I was in Turkey, we went to, you know, places like Cappadocia, where, you know, 2 million Christians were slaughtered by the Romans in the second century. And so they like lived underground, like they had entire cities underground. And then a few brave souls would, you know, be farming above ground. So when the Romans came, they'd be like, yeah, we're it. We're just this little village. Meanwhile, underground, there's all these people. And and it's amazing, by the way, because they all had like a family chapel in the cities under the ground. But anyway, I just feel like a lot of us have been underground in a lot of ways. And it's time to come above ground and see the light. You know, the Romans are done. They're raiding and even if the Romans are raiding and pillaging, let's not live underground. Let's come above ground. Let's see the light of day. Let's step out. You know, and so, you know, for some of you, that's literal. Yeah, take a walk around the block. Honestly, maybe some of you, your only goal is to get out of the house and take a walk every day. Look at the sunshine, look at the snow, look at the sleet, look at the rain, whatever you're looking at. It's going to be perfect. But I think it's time to come, you know, get out of that mode of being hunkered down, waiting for things to get better, waiting for the economy to turn around, waiting for, you know, the different political party to be in power, waiting for, you know, your husband to get a new job, or waiting for this or waiting for that, like in that hunkered down. Yeah, I'm going to start living as soon as things turn around. No, you turn around. You turn around. When you turn around, things will turn around. See, we get it backwards. I do the same thing. Trust me. We're all in this together. I need to just say we a lot more often. Okay, working on that. We need to come out from underground. We need to stop waiting for things to turn around, and we need to turn around. Because when we turn around, things will probably turn around. And even if they don't, we'll have changed. And because we've changed, it'll be different. It's time. So God, we thank you that you are calling your people to come above ground and live uprightly. and to just begin walk with God confidence, with holy confidence that you are at work and things are going to be different. This is a new day and a new way. You are the God of the new, and you're doing a new thing in the lives of each one of these people that you have anointed and you have appointed to be here for this journey. We're starting the year off right. We're starting the year off saying, you know, my life is worth a little bit of planning. This year is worth the effort of, you know, 21 days, you know, thinking about the way I'm living, thinking about the thoughts I'm thinking. If the Bible says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, maybe I ought to pay attention to what's going on in our mind. If the Bible commands us to take every thought captive, you know, maybe I ought to pay attention to what thoughts are floating through my precious little head. And maybe some of them need to be locked up and the key thrown away. To God, we're thankful. We're thankful because you're so amazing and you're worth it. And the lives that you've called us to live are worth it. They're worth thinking about. They're worth planning for. They're worth putting some effort in. Because we want to glorify you. We want you to write in our life a story for your glory. And this is the year. This is the comeback year. This is the turnaround year. This is the year that we begin to inspire others. Is your life an inspiration? Now, I heard Tony Robbins say, your life is either a warning or an example. And I think as believers, we need more than example. Your life is either a warning or an inspiration. And just be honest, because the truth is the truth. And you're going to hear this from me so many times, because I think it's what the body of Christ, I'm not talking to the world. I just don't. I mean, some people, God bless them, they're evangelists. My call is to the church. My call is to the church. My call is to you. And I love you enough to tell you that the truth about you is true. There's wonderful things about you. You have so much more potential. A call on your life that is so much higher than you have even dared to ask or imagine. Too many of you are like, oh, me? No, me. I'm just drawing some pictures upstairs. And I'm just singing to my kids. No, the call of God on your life is so much higher. And you need to dare to start visioning larger. You really need to just get a vision that's big enough to get you out of bed in the morning. And we've talked about this. And so I'm going to be here 21 days and challenging you, encouraging you, spurring you on, praying for you. You know, we're only on day two. We're going to get better at this. And I think I'm praying. So let me wrap that up. So God, we just praise you. We praise you because you have brought us together. You have gathered us. And I pray that this class is just going to be the best class I've ever offered. That's it. I want this to be the best class I've ever offered. I want people to come out of this just absolutely transformed and ready to soar into their best year ever. To come roaring back, to come soaring back. And this is their comeback year. And we're asking for it. We're believing for it. We're going to ask. You know, we're going to dare to ask and imagine and then believe that you're going to do above and beyond anything that we could ask or imagine. We love you, God. We thank you. Pray that you protect my voice. Amen, amen, amen. You know what, guys? It's just going to be real simple today. And really, most days it's going to be simple. We're just going to do the course workbook together. That's it. And then if you have questions, if you have comments, I've kind of figured out how to do that. And I'll just expound on things and do what the Holy Spirit gives me. Does that sound fair? I think it's going to be fun. Since I figure out why this clicks. Okay, so day two, we're bringing this thing to life. We're beginning to flesh this out. I hope that you did all of the assignments from day one. You know, it's not going to be hard if you keep up with it. You know, just put in, just put in the effort. And we... I shared this idea yesterday of recording, making an audio recording of your vision, make an audio recording of your ultimate you, your ultimate day. You know, I see a person who, and recording that. I'd love to hear from some of you. Did you do that? Did you make that audio recording? It's not hard. It's really not hard. And this is off the point, but I'm going to share this. One of my secrets that I think has really helped me, because I struggle with second guessing. And I was taught as a child not to trust myself. I was trained. Don't, you know, what you see, Donna, what you think you see, oh, you're not really seeing that. What you think is happening to you and being done to you, oh, no, that's not happening. Yeah. I was trained not to trust myself. And so it's like I'm always walking on glass. You know, I don't even know how to explain what that does to you when you're taught not to trust. Like, I think I'm seeing this, but maybe I'm not seeing this. Everybody says that this isn't there. It sure looks like it's there. It sure seems like this is what's happening, but everybody says this isn't happening to me. So I don't know what's happening here. And so I was taught not to trust myself, not to trust my gut. And it's really just hindered me in so many ways. And I wonder how many of you are struggling with that. But anyway, something that's really helped me, and even if you don't have some crazy mixed up childhood, I think this will help you. I use my voice note. And when I go on my walks, I just kind of process. I just kind of evaluate the prior few days and just kind of process out loud how am I doing on my goals? What are my upcoming goals? You know, what am I thinking about? You know, what's happening in my life? And I process it. What are the key lessons that I've learned since the last time I made one of the voice notes? What is God showing me? And I just kind of process out loud with the Lord. Okay, God, what's up? You know, what's happening with my life? Pay attention. You know, I think it was Socrates said, the unreflected life is not worth living. And I think that's what I'm trying to say. And maybe it's taking me too long to get there. These voice notes, because it's always easier for most of us, it's easier to just talk. Some people like to write and journal. So do this as a journal. Some people like to paint. Some people like to sing. You know, but whatever you're doing, you know, record it, whether on pen or audio or video or whatever. And then here's the key. I go back, and this is just crazy. I'll go back a year later and listen and be like, you know what? I knew the truth. I knew what God was showing me. It was right there. God was showing me this a year ago. I just dealt with a situation last night. And I had listened to a bunch of my old voice notes, you know, from 2:15, getting ready to go into 2:16. God had told me on this one, back in 2014, Donna, you need to deal with this situation because this situation is going to bite you. And you can just put it off. And I put it off for 2 years dealing with it because I don't like, believe it or not, I don't like confrontation. I really don't. And listening to yourself, reflecting out loud and processing with God, it really helps me. And that's why a lot of people like to journal. And maybe you just journal what God is doing. You can pick whatever you want to journal about. But pay attention to your life. I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't want you to be so self-absorbed. But, you know, make sure you're visioning with God about stuff that matters, not just your feelings and how your husband made you mad. I hope that makes sense. We don't want to be, you know, moribund. So like we spend all day thinking about what my thoughts are. But I hope that this would be helpful. What I'm saying is this is another thing that's so easy, but most people just don't do it. Just hit the voice note. Just hit the voice note on your phone or, you know, record on Audacity or take out a journal. And just pay attention to your life. Pay attention to what God is teaching you and showing you. This year, you could just write down everything that's perfect and all the ways that God's perfecting your character. You could have a journal or a series of voice notes just on that topic. And once a day or once a week, just say, hey, what were the things that were perfect this week? And what were the things that I think God probably sent to perfect my character? And what are some things that God's trying to show me? And I think if you did that even just once a week, and then when you come to 2016, the end of 2016 or the end of, you know, whatever the year is, okay, if it's 2015, 2016, 2017, you know, whatever year it is, when you get to the end of that year, listen back to those and really get some key takeaways. Honestly, I think the biggest problem for most people is they don't reflect on their life. And one of the tools I'm going to give you is my weekly evaluation. And I've done this, I'm telling you, for 30 years. I actually can tell you when I started doing this, I think it was 1981. So somebody can do the math. A list of questions that I need to ask myself each week to reflect. And it would be fun to do those. You could either journal them. Again, you could voice note them. But anyway, that was all just bonus. I'd love for you guys, and some of you are doing this, and I think it's great, you get a poster board and make it visual. Okay, so yesterday we talked about doing the voice note. But buy a poster board, draw a picture, cut out pictures. You know what? Experts say this is really powerful. your brain gets a vision of where it's going. I already told you about my voice note of my ultimate day. How much of that has come true? It's crazy. Because your brain, you tell your brain what to work on. You put up a picture of yourself looking really fit. And then your brain like, oh, is that what we're supposed to be doing? Oh, we're supposed to be getting fit? Oh, we're supposed to have a great, happy family? Oh, we're going to have a place in the countryside? Is that what I'm supposed to be figuring out? Is that what I'm supposed to be working on? Oh, okay. I thought I was just supposed to be noticing all the people who annoy me and aggravate and make me crazy. But now, oh no, I'm supposed to be looking for ways to make this picture come true. That is the way your brain works. Your brain works on what you tell it to work on. So when you make the picture and you show your brain that picture every day, it knows what it's supposed to be doing. Right? Do this. And I would love for you to share it. I would love for you to share it. Come on, you know, just take a picture of it and put it on the Facebook page. We want to spur one another on. I want to see your visuals. I told you about my stick figure. I should probably make a better one. And that was hilarious. I do that. I did that about 4 years ago. And never until yesterday when y'all pointed out to me did I think the coach purse meant that I was a coach. I'm like, oh, duh. And this is another key point, coming back to retraining your brain, because I know a lot of you are really excited about this. You believe your own voice more than any other. You believe your own voice more than any other. So pay attention to what you're telling yourself. And again, this is why being really proactive. I love affirmations. Those of you who have been in other classes with me, and I'm going to do something with that in this class for sure. But, you know, make positive statements and then listen to that, especially that ultimate you and that vision for who you want to be. Listen to it every day. Put it on loop. You know, when I was in Arizona, I went to this church and the pastor's wife had grown up, you know, no plumbing, dirt floors, illiterate, couldn't read. She was raised in Minnesota, out in the woods somewhere. I mean, she had nothing. She'd been sexually abused and just really like crazy. You know, just an amazing life story. Married at like 15. I don't remember. But she got a hold of this idea that your brain believes your own voice more than any other voice. And she wrote out, based on scripture, like 100 affirmations. And this was back in the day when you had cassette tapes. And she put on a cassette tape and she put it on loop. And she played it around the clock, 24/7 in her house. And I don't know how long she did that. She did it for months or years, but she did it for a long time. And she was totally transformed and went on to get a PhD from being, you know, illiterate. Very successful woman and an amazing role model. And just that one thing. Again, just take one of these tools and just do them. It's not enough to say, well, okay, that sounds good. You know, you just need to go do it. And again, if you are really bold and willing to be vulnerable, yeah, you could share that. You know, post up your little MP3, put it on SoundCloud, or that's probably the cheap, you know, that's free, SoundCloud. Put it up on SoundCloud or put it in Dropbox and post it to the Facebook page and have some other people listen to it. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:18, you know, where there's no vision, people perish. And it doesn't always mean a physical death. Sometimes it's an emotional death. Sometimes it's a spiritual death. There's a lot of ways to be dying inside. A lot of ways to be dying inside. And it always comes back to lack of vision. And that's why we said in the webinar, you know, God needs to just turn on the lights. And I'm going to pray that right now. God, I want to ask that again, because I feel like some people really need that. They need you to just turn on the light. And you know what, Jesus, you're the light of the world. So if you would, could you just step into their house right now? Could you just step into the room wherever they are and just light up the place? Real. I mean, seriously, could you just step into wherever they are right now and light up the place and give them a vision for who they could really be? Because they don't have to settle for second best. They don't have to settle at all. You have greatness for all of your people. You know, every one of you, you guys are the hero in your story. God wants to write a story in your life in which you're the hero. So right now, if your life were a movie, if last year were a movie, what would have been the title of that movie? Your life to story today. What would be the title of it? Would it be a tragedy, a comedy, an epic saga? Well, you know, every movie needs a turning point. If you watch, again, our theme for this series, I guess, is Seabiscuit. Watch the beginning. It is so depressing. I mean, those men had the most depressing lives. Tom Smith is like a hobo living on a train. You know, the jockey's parents abandon him and he makes money by letting people beat him up. The other guy, his, you know, I don't want to spoil it, you know, his kid dies, his wife leaves. It is so depressing. It is like, and it's set in the depression. It's like the most depressing thing. And maybe you're like, well, so far, my story sounds about like that. You know, the devil's beating me up and my dog won't hunt and my pickup truck broke down and blah. But then there comes that moment in the movie where it all starts to turn around and they start fighting back and winning, you know, winning races and overcoming obstacles and, you know, declaring what they're going to do even when it's impossible. And everything starts to turn around and people start to believe in them. People start to cheer for them. And yay, that's the comeback part. That's where you're at right now. You just need a vision. You just need a vision. So, you know, whatever the movie title has been so far, why don't you decide right now, what should the new movie title be? This is your comeback year, the turnaround. Then you're going to go on to this great victory that inspires all these people. What's the name of the movie going to be? And this would be fun to do on the Facebook group. What's the name of the old movie? What's the name of the new movie? And what's the theme? Who's going to be inspired by it? You got to have a vision. You got to have a vision. And that was step one, clarify your vision. We actually covered that yesterday. And today we're going to dig in a little bit more to step two, which is plan. Okay. And I hope that some of you did this, but I know that, you know, sometimes people don't crack open the course workbook. I know I've noticed that in some of my other classes. So we'll just do this together. I want you to get a pen and paper and I want you to do this right now. Seriously. Get a pen and paper and we'll do it now. List two of your unique personal qualities. What do people remark about you? And maybe you want to hearken back to a better season in your life. If you've been going through really tough times and all anybody remarks on is how bummed out you are. This is, you know, the best you. The best you. You at your very best. What are those unique personal qualities? And then number two is to list and do this now. I'll wait. List one or two ways you enjoy expressing those qualities when interacting with others. Singing, serving, teaching, counseling, coaching. And then assume you're living in the ultimate world. In the ultimate world, what's everybody doing? What do you stand for? That a lot of people put it that way. What do you stand for in the world? What do you want to see in the world? And then you can even get at it, you know, what do you stand against? If there's one thing I hate, it's an entitlement mentality. I stand against an entitlement mentality. And the poverty mindset. I've just seen, it's so destructive. What do you stand for? I stand for God's people becoming all that God created them to be and doing all that God created them to do and having all that God created them to have. That's what I stand for. And living for something larger than themselves. That's me. What do you stand for? And what do you stand against? Maybe you stand against child abuse or you stand against abortion. You know, what is that thing that you're like, you know, this is what I stand for. This is what I stand against. And in the ultimate world, the things that I stand for are manifesting and taking place. And the things that I stand against are wiped out. I mean, William Wilberforce, there's another great movie, Amazing Grace. You know, he said, God has set before me two great objects, the abolition of slavery and the reformation of society. God has set before me two great objects, the abolition of slavery and the reformation of society. So he stood against slavery and he stood for the reformation of society, and he gave his life to that cause. If you have not seen that movie, you need to stop what you're doing and watch that movie. It is unbelievable. It is one of my all-time favorites. He just about single-handedly ended slavery in the British Empire. And they did it without a bloody civil war. They did it standing on the blood of Jesus. They stood on the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus was just as powerful as the blood of hundreds of thousands of men shed on the battlefields of this nation. There's a lesson for us. There's a great history lesson. He stood on the blood of Jesus. It was Christian abolitionists led by William Wilberforce who did that work. There's just an example. What has God set before you? If you were to say, God has set before me two great aims. One, what do you stand against? And what's the other? What do you stand for? For him, abolition of slavery, reformation of society. And he started the SPCA, the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, the SPCA. He started that. He passed laws against child labor. I mean, his whole life was really reforming society. And he transformed England. He really transformed the place. It was amazing. How about you? How about you? And they made a movie about his life. It's one of my favorites. You can't watch it without crying your eyes out. The price that he paid. The price that he paid. He became a drug addict. I mean, he paid such a price for the work that he, you know, was called to do. In his body, you know, he got addicted to the like prescription drugs that they put him on for all the pain and things that he was going through. But how about you? And I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear from you. Come onto the Facebook group, answer these questions. I hope you're taking copious notes and that you're really taking this seriously, because this is your life. And I listened to that song the other day. I was on the radio, you know, this is your life. And somebody go ahead and post that up. It's your life. What you're going to do. The world is watching you. Every day, the choices you make, say who you are and what you are and who your heart beats for. I probably botched the lyrics, but let's post that up. It's your life. What do you stand for? What do you stand against? Do you see how this is bigger? Do you see how this is bigger than... you know, my husband's making me bonkers and my kids are driving me nuts. I give you my example. My two qualities, I'm powerful and I'm an energetic communicator. The two ways I enjoy using those gifts, writing, teaching, really I should say praying. More than writing these days, I like to just pray. I should really revise that. Teaching and praying. I love to pray for people, and that's growing in me. I just love to pray for people. That's like my favorite. But in any case, it's not about me. It's about you. I'm giving you an example. In the ultimate world, everyone is using their gifts to serve God and humanity. They're not sitting in the pew. They're not sitting home. They're not thinking about themselves. They're not saying, oh, well, you know, I'm just not, you know, I'm not that good of a singer. I'm not that good of a guitar player. I'm not that good of an artist. I'm not that good of a teacher. And, you know, I don't know. No, they're using their gifts. They're using them, whatever the gifts are. They're using them. They're not hiding them in a napkin. They're not making excuses. They're using their gifts. Hello, they're doing. And they're serving God and people, because that's what it's about, loving God and being nice to people. I always say I love ministry if I didn't have to put up with the people. God's got, you know, I'm choleric, so I'm not really a people person. I'm not. I like projects by temperament, and then I'm a prophet. Yeah, so I, you know, God's just challenging me. You know, love him, love people. That's it. That's the job. So that's where I'm at. But you, what are you at? And I think I can make this even better, thinking about, the, you know, what do I stand for and what do I stand against? I think I could maybe revise this and do even better. But here's my mission statement for now. Okay, so you put those three together. My mission statement is to use my powerful, energetic communication style to write and speak messages and pray, prayers, there you go, that equip God's people to use their gifts to serve God and humanity. And maybe I could just say, and to pray prophetically for people to empower them to hear God's heart for their life and to step into the God's highest and best for their life. So maybe what I stand against is mediocrity and settling for second best. And what I stand for is, you know, really stepping into your greatness. But anyway, onward, onward. How are we doing on time? Donna, 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 move along. So it's your turn. This is in your workbook. I take a minute to do it now. Two of your personal qualities. One or two ways you enjoy expressing that. What do you stand for? What do you stand against? So in the perfect world, what's that look like? What's everybody doing? And then you combine the three into your personal mission statement. I mean, again, this might take a little work, but isn't it worth it? And put this on your poster, put it on a voice note, and then you know why you're here. Why you're on this earth. You know, William Wilberforce never lost sight of the goal. He was here to abolish slavery in the British Empire and to reform society. And he did it. And you can do whatever God's called you to do too. I think that is it. Yay! We got to the end. Here, I'll put this up. You can just look at a picture. You don't want to look at a picture of me. Hang on. It's better to look at this. Let me give you some. I think I'll leave that screen up. Okay, great. All right, well, I'm going to pray. And then if anybody wants to add a comment, I think we know how to do that. And we'll give it a shot. Okay? And you can also type your comments into the chat and I'll go over there and see how those look. So God, I pray that this was encouraging and challenging for your people. That they would really examine their heart and their mind to say, you know, what do I stand for? What do I stand against? What are those gifts? What are those unique things about me that could come together into an epic saga, a life well lived, that could really be a story for your glory? And Lord, whatever's gone before, that's just the prelude. That's the prequel. That's just the prequel. And it was all perfect. It was perfect. Seabiscuit wouldn't be such an amazing story if those men hadn't suffered so much and needed each other to heal. So it's perfect. Whatever you've been through. You've been through divorce. Maybe you've been through more than one divorce. You've been through health challenges, financial loss. Maybe you lost your house. You know how many people lost their houses? Whatever you've been through, you know what? It's perfect. Because it's a setup. It's a setup for the story of God's glory, which is what your life is supposed to be about. Glorifying God. That's what we're here. What is the chief aim of man? This is from the Westminster Catechism. Now you know I was a Presbyterian for 17 years. What is the chief aim of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Your chief aim on earth is to glorify God. Do you know what glorify is? It's to give an accurate reflection. Your mission on earth, should you choose to accept it, is to give the world an accurate reflection of who God is. And you do that best by being exactly who God created you to be and doing exactly what God is calling you to do. And when you be and do it, I mean, it's automatic. Then you'll end up having. See, people get so focused on the having. It's really not about the having. It's about the being and the doing. And so, God, I just pray that you would empower your people to understand that everything that's happened so far, it's really just so perfect. And now they're here, and it's just perfect. And they're reflecting and they're planning. And that's just so perfect. Because this is the comeback. This is the fun part. This is where the movie is like getting exciting. And people got their popcorn and they're leaning forward and they're like, I can't believe where that man started. And now look at him go. How did he find the courage? How did he find the strength? How did he find the strategy? That's amazing. Oh, God did that for him? Wow. I wonder if God could do that for me too. Wow. That woman No way. No way. She lived through all of that. Oh my gosh. Give me more. I need more tissues. I can't believe all that woman went through. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Here's the turning point. The turning point. She had her amazing comeback with God. And now look at her. And what God did for her, he could do for me too. Awesome. Awesome. That's what it's all about. It's about living a story larger than yourself. And this is it. No more tragedy. No more, you know, no more. Not that there won't be hard things. There may be some tragic things, but your story isn't a tragedy. You may face more setbacks, but this is it. This is the moment when your life becomes about something other than you. This is when your life becomes all about the things that you stand for and the things that you stand against and what God has called you to have, do, and be in the world. Amen? Amen. Let me see. Do we have any questions? I wonder if I should stop the recording there. Let me stop the recording there. And see if I can hear from you. If you would like to say something, raise your hand. And then I'll see that you have a comment or a question. And hopefully we'll be able to hear from you. Go ahead and raise your hand. Let's see. Melissa Schmiel? Is there something you'd like to say, Melissa Schmiel? I'm glad. We'll get better at this. Is that not working for you? Okay. Nope. We'll try a couple others. Joanne Ball. Hey, prayer warrior, can you hear me? You're unmuted. Joanne? Well, we'll try another one. Thank you for your patience, guys. This is new. I already did Judy. If anybody else has a question, comment, let's try another one. We're trying, guys. Thank you for your patience. Frida? McCurley, do you have something you want to say?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. It's working. Yay, God.
Yay. It's 6:41 here in the morning. And my brain is not up yet, I think. So I think that's to show me, because I'm sure I know I've had, before.
Okay.
For the life of me right now, I cannot remember what it was. So I need to redo it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I like free, absolutely free to start from scratch. Start from scratch. Because whatever you had written before, if it were really true, it'll be incorporated. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage everybody, even if you've done this before, you know, lay that aside. And do this fresh. Come to it with a new, fresh pair of glasses. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Well, thank you for raising your hand. You were our first little guinea pig. Thank you. Thank you, Frida. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Bless you too.
Okay. Anybody else have a question? Let's see. How we doing? Olga. I'm going to try Olga. Olga Kazakova. You're unmuted. My mom's name was Olga, by the way. I can hear you.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Loud and clear.
Oh, awesome. Yes, I have a question. I'm wondering, as we are kind of planning and mapping out our vision and the steps that we should take to achieve our goals, like, how do we know that our way is God's way of achieving these things? Like, how can we make sure that we really are, you know, following the voice of God?
You know, here it is, ladies and gentlemen, my first of many, many times I will say this, time in his presence. And I'm going to pray for you. Time in his presence. Time in his presence. It's the answer, honestly, it's the answer to everything. But, you know, I try not to be too redundant, but let me pray for you. So, Father, I thank you for Olga, and I thank you for the sweetness that I hear in her voice. And I thank you for the sweetness that I hear in her heart. And she's one who wants to please you, God. She's one who doesn't want to take one single step away from the epicenter of your will and your plan for her life. God, I thank you that throughout your word, you promise us. There's a verse that says, I will lead you with my eye upon you. Like it just God's like, I'll just look at you. I'll just look at you and you'll know which way to go. I won't even have to say anything. And so right now, she just looks full in your wonderful face, God. She just looks full in your wonderful face and says, I trust you, God. I want to follow you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I thank you that she sees you. I thank you that she hears you and that you lead her and you guide her. Jesus said, you know, if a child asked his dad for a fish, would he give him a scorpion or a stone or some other crazy thing? How much more does our Father in heaven know how to give us good gifts? And so you're asking right now, God, show me the way. Show me the plan. Show me what I'm here to do and show me how to make it practical. And God's going to give you that and not something else. So I pray blessing on Olga and for everyone else right now who's like, God, I just want to make sure that this plan that I'm putting together right now, I want to make sure that it's really from you. And that's a great prayer. And I think it's one that God is going to honor. So thanks for chiming in. Did that help?
Yes, thank you.
God bless. Okay, this is fun. This is not as scary or hard as I thought it was going to be. Does anybody else have questions? All you have to do is press your raise your hand button. We'll try a couple more. And then we'll probably wrap up. So I don't want these to be, too long because we're doing them daily. Well, I don't have your name, so that's a little bit of a problem. It just says friend. I don't know if you heard the word unmuted, how that works.
Yes.
You did?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Donna.
And you're
Judy.
Judy, hi.
Hey, thank you for taking my comment here. I actually am not on Facebook because it takes a lot of time.
Yep.
So I just went ahead and just emailed you, but I wanted to share with you how much it helped me to think about the way the Lord allows us to look at ourselves in goodness and in kindness. And so one thing that really resonated with me is that when you said, let me see me through the Lord's eyes is to ask, I asked the Lord to show me the qualities he loves about me. And that was so neat, rather than like, what can I do more of or less of, or
yeah,
better of. So thank you so much, yeah, for that. I've never really thought about asking him, what does he cherish and love about me? So thank you.
Aww. Judy, I'm so glad that resonated with you. And I shared yesterday that my brain is always asking what's wrong. And so when I said, God, show me, my default was, okay, so God, show me what's wrong. And he did completely the opposite, completely the opposite. He just flooded with me with encouragement and affirmation. And these are the gifts that I see in you. And we have a good father. And like any good parent, there's a time to affirm and encourage. And then there's a time to maybe do a little bit of a course correction. And so Judy, clearly the father knew that what you needed was just to be affirmed. And so I affirm my sister. I affirm the joy that I hear. And just I just feel you starting to soar. Just like, oh, so that's the way you see me, God. Well, if you see me that way, what can I not do? Wow. So I have those qualities. And I see you getting liftoff. You know, it's like, like the rocket, it's like it hasn't lifted off yet, but well, there's just all this energy and all these flames. And it starts to kind of rock a little bit. And I just see you right there. I just see the flame of God just coming up under you. And you're starting to get up, get some momentum. And then bam, you're going to just take off. You are just going to take off in the power of God. I see it for you. I see it for you. Receive it.
I claim it. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Here's your thing. Amen. Oh, this is fun. See, this is the fun part, right? When you pray for people, that's the fun part. Maybe I'll do one more. Anybody else want to make a little comment? I think, oh, wait a minute. We got Diddy. Let's see. Hey, Diddy, can you hear me? We can. It's a little soft. Maybe just speak up a tiny bit because you're calling from where? Holland?
Yes, from Holland. Yes.
Welcome.
Yes, thank you. I just want to say I'm so thoroughly happy and I know that I'm in the right place. Because the Lord took me to WBU through the names of Tina and Christy. And in the second word I got from the Lord.
Yeah.
There was something about phone conversations, and well, I think I'm doing that now with you. So I'm totally amazed at what the Lord is doing.
I remember that story. God gave you two, you know, just a very American names. That is so cool. I love it. God, I just bless my sister. Oh, wow. God, I thank you that you lead her supernaturally. You lead her supernaturally because you want her more and more attuned with your supernatural moving. I don't know if you know this expression. This might be very, very American, and you might have to look it up. It's cloak and dagger. Cloak and dagger. So that's C-L-O-A-K and dagger, which I think is D-A-G-G-E-R. So a cloak is like a cape and a dagger is like a sword, but it means something. It means something. It means someone who is doing something undercover. It's like an undercover agent. And some, for you, it's in a positive way, but I think what I'm saying is that God has undercover work for you so that you're going to be hidden in some ways. It's going to be like a secret work that not a lot of people can know about. And then you've got the sword of the Spirit. And I think that God is training you, Diddy. He's training you in how to be led supernaturally so that you can begin to trust that when God gives you the name Tina, okay, I got it. I'm watching for Tina. And I don't know if you've ever read this book, but he might actually be from Holland. God's Smuggler. Okay, next thing you need to do, I'm giving everybody homework. You need to get your hands on the book, God's Smuggler. Because I think you are like a God smuggler kind of a person.
Okay.
I really do. And I don't know if it involves all the Muslims that are coming in, maybe Syrian. I don't know. I don't want to guess at it. But I really feel that book, God's Smuggler, and the cloak and dagger thing, again, don't look, if it says anything bad, that's not for you. But just this idea of like, you know, like almost like a spy, like an underground, like a top secret. Yeah, God's Smuggler, for sure. That book is just, you're going to love it. It's going to be perfect. Awesome. Awesome. I'm so glad. Yeah, glad you called in. Let's go ahead and wrap it there. That was a blessing. And this was so fun. We figured out how, I mean, come on. I need somebody to give me some props. We are bumping this thing up. We've got, you know, great sound quality. Now we've got the, you know, the keynote presentations, and God willing, these videos will work and I can hear you. So I'm just really excited because God told me 2 years ago, I needed to die. He's like, Donna, you need to die to what you want to do, to what you feel like doing, what you think would be, you know, the easy way. You need to die. You need to be diligent, walk in integrity and excellence. Diligence, integrity, and excellence. And I've got diligence. Anybody who knows me knows. I got the diligence down. I've got the integrity down. I'm working on excellence in 2016. And I hope that you see that this is a more excellent class that we're doing here. We're stepping it up, bumping up our game. And, you know, I hope it's a blessing to you. You know, I love you guys. And it's just my honor. It's just my absolute honor to serve you. We love and appreciate you so much more than you know. Come on to the Facebook group and engage with the material. Okay? Because I'm like pouring out my precious little heart here. Now come on to the Facebook group and respond. We love you. Bye-bye.